Welcome to Life Church. We are an Acts 2:42 community, a family on a mission to bring the life of Jesus to Warrington. We hope you're ready to hear what God has to say to you today through His Word and by His Spirit.
My name's Dave, and I'm going to be talking about Deborah this morning. And Deborah's, if you want to turn to in your Bibles to Judges chapter 4, we'll find the story there. I was really getting a little bit concerned there when the children were still in, and when was it Jemima said that the tops wasn't before. Oh no, we're not going to have children in this morning, are we? Because the book of Judges is often 18-rated stuff. It can be quite scary at times. But a man who's a lot cleverer than me, called Michael Wilcock, said perhaps you need to read the book of Judges sometimes. A bit like reading fairy stories. You know how fairy stories can be quite violent, can't they? And the book of Judges is a bit like that. So, before we look at the Bible, are you sitting comfortably?
Yes.
All right. So once upon a time, there was a wicked king called Jabin who had a very fierce and nasty general called Sisera. You can boo at that point if you want. But Sisera, he had 900 iron chariots. Life was hard, very hard for the poor Israelites who'd come to live in that land. But three people were going to rescue them. The first was a judge, a woman named Deborah, who was always sitting under a palm tree. The second was a soldier named Barak, who won a battle in a thunderstorm. And the third was a woman who lived in a tent and always had a mallet and a tent peg nearby. And her name was Jael. Now, that would not be the kind of tale that appears in storybooks, because actually we're going to discover it's very different. God comes into this story. But all the same, it's quite a riveting read. So can we look at Judges chapter 4? In actual fact, what you've got here, in Judges 4, you've got the storyline is given to you. In Judges 5, the story is repeated in essence, really, but in the form of a song, in the form of a poem. But let's read Judges chapter 4, first of all. Worth reading. Okay, and the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after he had died. What a start. This doesn't start with once upon a time or back, you know, 2,000, 3,000 years. They did evil again. And this was the cycle that you see in the book of Judges. Lord raising up a deliverer, the people doing evil and being rescued, giving thanks to God, and then going back to doing evil again, just time after time after time. But let's carry on. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and he oppressed the people of Israel cruelly for 20 years. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the people of Israel came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you? Go gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun, and I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." And she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called out Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and 10,000 men went up at his heels, and Deborah went up with him. Now, Heber the Kenite had separated from the Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, and had pitched his tent as far away as the oak in Zananim, which is near Kadesh. When Sisera was told that Barak, the son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera called out his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the men who were with him from Harosheth Hagoyim to the river Kishon. And Deborah said to Barak, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. Does not the Lord go out before you?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army before Barak by the edge of a sword. And Sisera got down from his chariot and fled away on foot. And Barak pursued the chariots and the army to Harosheth Hagoyim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. But Sisera fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael came out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me. Do not be afraid." So he turned aside to her into the tent, and she covered him with a rug. And he said to her, "Please give me a little water to drink, for I'm thirsty." So she opened a skin of milk and gave him a drink and covered him. And he said to her, "Stand at the opening of the tent, and if any man comes and asks you, 'Is anyone here?' say no." But Jael, the wife of Heber, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand. Then she went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple until it went down into the ground while he was lying fast asleep from weariness. So, surprise, surprise, he died. And behold, as Barak was pursuing Sisera, Jael went out to meet him and said to him, "Come, and I'll show you the man whom you are seeking." So he went into the tent, and there lay Sisera dead with the tent peg in his temple. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the people of Israel, and the hand of the people of Israel pressed harder and harder against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, that the leaders took the lead in Israel, that the people offered themselves willingly, bless the Lord. And we won't read the rest of the song, but a wonderful song that in essence retells what we've just read, the story, so in two parts. And so, you know, we're reading this story and we're looking at it, and we see it's at a time when of great uncertainty. People in the book of Judges, throughout the book of Judges, but at this time as well, imagine 20 years being oppressed by a foreign army, by this wicked King Jabin with his horrible commander, Sisera, and his 900 chariots, and you just suppress. There's no freedom. You're basically in lockdown. Deborah, in the song part of the story, she goes on to say, you know, village life ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose. There'd been 20 years. So if you would go back 20 years, what do we go back to? 2001. Imagine, just put your hearts and thoughts into that. Imagine since 2000, lockdown's been hard, hasn't it, the last 18 months? It has not been an easy time. But guys, this is nothing. Village life has ceased in Britain, hasn't it? During lockdown, it's beginning to come back now. Wonderful, but it has ceased. You know it. But 20 long years. Imagine since 2001, no neighbours talking to one another over the fence, no children playing in the street. The highways, it says in that poem, in that song, the highways were abandoned. And people are just scared, living in terror. There's this foreign army there that uses horrible means to suppress and oppress the people of Israel. Just lockdown living going on for so long. And what happens is that we read these stories and we think, well, that was all back then. But we begin to see that what happened and the way God acted has relevance for our lives today. Even though it was all that time ago and it was a different set of circumstances, a different context, The story that we read, the stories in the book of Judges, all have relevance for us today. And so we can look at this story, look at the person of Deborah, and begin to glean things that are useful for us today as we're, yeah, in a little way, coming out of our lockdown, but no one's quite sure what it's going to be like. What's going to happen? And, the uncertainty is something that people lived with back then. How long will this go on for? We've upset God. We haven't lived according to his ways. But how long will it be that Jabin the king and Sisera the commander of the army, how long will they have this power over us? How long will we be suppressed? And today, we've lived, haven't we, with such uncertainty. Are we coming? Even Freedom Day, July the 19th. There's a little bit of you still wonders, what's it going to be like? What's going to happen? We still wait for, those 5 o'clock tea time press conferences glued to our TVs, or perhaps you've got fed up a bit by now, but you wonder, what's going to happen? Will the top advisors who say, show me the next slide, please? well, what slide will they show next? What's going to happen? But we look at this. And we see that even in times of uncertainty, God is still at work. God doesn't abandon us. And we give thanks in this story. Praise God, Deborah, in a time of uncertainty, is still in touch with God. She's still listening to what God has to say. You see, women such as Miriam in Exodus 15, such as Huldah in 2 Kings 22, are described as prophets. And Deborah here is described as a prophet, not just a prophet, but also a judge and a mother in Israel and a poet. And here she is in this chapter. She was a national prophet and judge who was recognized throughout Israel. People came to her. To that palm tree known as the palm of Deborah, people came to her to settle disputes. Why? Because she had spiritual insight. There was something about Deborah that you knew if you talked to Deborah, you weren't just receiving some wise woman's ideas. She was in touch with God, and she had something that enabled her to give wisdom from God that she received and that people were able to apply to their lives. The similar sort of thing with Huldah, the prophet in 2 Kings 22. When the book of the law is found, Josiah, the king, who does he go to? Jeremiah's around at the time, but actually he goes to Huldah, the prophet, the woman prophet, and receives wisdom from her. And a similar sort of role there. Deborah's, as a mother, she has a role as well. And just her love and compassion, we don't know. It's probably that she didn't have children, but she just had a love and compassion for the people of God and this mother in Israel. And she exercised her ministry during these difficult times. Just 900 tanks. I don't know how many of you watched the film Saving Private Ryan ever. I remember the first time I watched that in the cinema. And with the sound effects, and there they are sort of pinging, shooting at one another, and then the tanks come, and it's like the whole cinema seems to shake as the noise of the tanks come rolling. And you think, iron chariots in those days, is a sort of, is Iron Age times, but Bronze Age going into the Iron Age, but just those iron chariots would be so frightening. But here's Deborah, still listening to God, even when there's less traffic, less going on, this whole lockdown life, and she's just this prophet who just knows what God's saying. It's really interesting, I think, that Scripture points out in chapter 4, verse 5, that Deborah sat under a palm tree. Do you remember back when the people of Israel came out of Egypt and they were wandering around, and there were desperate times then? And they were getting really, really thirsty. And they were moaning, why did you bring us, they always did, why did you bring us out of Egypt, Moses? And they were really complaining. And they were in the wilderness, and they were thirsty, and they were dying of thirst. And then they find some water at a place called Marah, which they call it Marah because it means bitterness, and it's bitter, and God blesses them, and they're able to get water. And then in the very next verse, as they move away from Marah, they come to a place called Elim. And you just read about this place called Elim, where there's 12 wells of water. Remember, you've been thirsty, you've been wanting refreshment. There's 12 wells and 70 palm trees. And it's there that they suddenly find this place of refreshing. 70 palm trees. Palm trees were quite rare in Palestine at that time, people tell us. But 70 palm trees as an oasis in the desert, and 12 wells, and it's a place of wonderful refreshing. I think, you know, the way Scripture records it, the Scripture bothers to tell us that there was a palm tree that she sat under. And I think there's something of Deborah. Scripture's telling us Deborah is actually receiving spiritual, not just physical, I believe there must have been water there, but receiving perhaps spiritual refreshment under this palm tree. It's her place, the place Deborah goes to be in touch with God, to listen. You can't be a prophet without being in touch with God. And here she is under this palm tree, listening to God, just drinking literally sort of water, but also just drinking in of the Spirit of God so that she can exercise her ministry as mother in Israel, as prophet, to the people as well. You see, we all need a place, don't we? I want to put it to you. I want to challenge you. Where's your palm tree? Where's your palm tree? I sort of for some years now I've been teaching at St. Mellitus College, which is sort of training ordinands into ordination in the Church of England. And there was a whole group of them qualifying, sort of getting ready to be ordained. And they invited the Archbishop of York, Stephen Cottrell, to come and speak to them. And one of the questions was that were put to him just a couple of weeks ago. One of the questions put to him was, what would you say to these students who are leaving college now to go on to ordination and exercise their ministry? What would be the sort of top piece of advice you'd give them? And he said, well, the top piece of advice would be this: remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And I'm thinking, is he talking about not doing this, not doing that on a Sunday? And he went on to explain, no, I'm not talking about that. He said, my advice for them is this. He said, find enough time to sleep. Find enough time to pray, and then do what you can. He said, and he went on to say this, he said, if the most important thing you do each day is pray, if the most important thing you do each week is take a day off, if the most important thing you do each year is take a spiritual retreat, then the do what you can will be amazing. You think about it. Jesus lived a bit like that, didn't he? He was always disappearing, going off up a mountain, getting away, just so that he could spend time with his Father, so that he could pray, so that he could be spiritually replenished. Deborah sat under a palm tree under difficult times. I don't know about you, but I have found it hard at times, just being in lockdown, not seeing people in the same way, or when you see them, they've got masks on. I'll put my hand up. I found it difficult at times. But I give thanks to God for an armchair that I know is my palm tree. And each day, just sitting away. For me, I can't sit at my desk because the computer's there and it pings things to me. I put my phone aside, not sit by the computer, and I'm just sat in an armchair, and that is my palm tree. That is my place where I find, you know, I read my Bible, I try and spend a good length of time just reading my Bible, just praying, and just finding it a place where I read my Bible to meet Jesus. I was marking an essay another day, and it's surprising what you can learn from marking students' essays, but marking an essay the other day, and one student had put this, he'd put about how his just reflections on his own experience, how his whole walk with God had changed because he'd come to see reading his Bible and praying not as chores, not as spiritual duties that he had to do, but he'd come to see them as gifts of the Spirit to him that enabled him to meet Jesus. And I thought, wow, that's fantastic, isn't it? And even since a few months ago I read that, I've sort of kept that in heart, because I've been guilty of times of just reading my Bible, praying every day, and thinking, that's it, I've done it. I'm doing well here. I'm going to be blessed because I've done. But no, seeing this is a wonderful, wonderful way that we can encounter the presence of God. It's a palm tree. You know, just I just really want to encourage you all. And I don't know, you know, you at all, really. But I just want to encourage you all. Read your Bible. Pray every day if you want to grow. Just read your Bible. Pray every day if you want to know what it is to keep in touch with God during a time of lockdown, during difficult times, when the Jabins are out there, when the Sisseras are out there, when you can become obsessed with who's for you and against you. Just drop all that. I know from my experience there was a time in my life a few years ago when I was becoming obsessed. Is somebody for me or against me? And it was filling my mind. Are they for me or against me? Dave, stop it now. I just felt God speaking to me so clearly one day. Dave, stop it now. Stop being concerned about who's for you and who's against you. Instead, decide who are you for. And I thought, yeah, I'm going to be for God. As for me and my house, as Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. Deborah, what does she say? There she is, her husband Lepidoth. We've no idea what he was like, what he's come. We just hear he was the husband. But I'm sure there was something in that couple's heart that, because Lepidoth, you know, some people try and describe him as a wimp. I don't think he was a wimp at all. I know I'm reading in between the lines here. But I'm sure there was a couple together who decided, we will serve the Lord. And we don't care who has the public image or not. We're serving the Lord together. And Deborah was able to exercise a ministry because of that. You see, back in her day, there was a vacuum of the presence of God. Because in the time of the judges, we know that everybody did as they saw fit in their own eyes. It was everyone was making the rules up as they went along. Everyone decided, well, God said this, but I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it because it's as they saw fit in their own eyes. And so because of that, there was a vacuum of the presence of God. But Deborah, sitting under a palm tree, was someone who said, no, I, as for me, I'll serve the Lord. I'll listen to what God's saying, and I won't be scared to speak out. You see, Deborah, she said, you know, to people, what's the answer to village life ceasing? Deborah said, I am. She said to Barak, what's the answer to village life ceasing? You are. Barak, go and tell your 10,000 men, what's the answer to village life ceasing? They are. Tell them they are. I just feel this is the word I'm carrying really as I come to you this morning. What's the answer to, in your street, in your church community, what's the answer to village life ceasing, to things have not been what they are? You are. It isn't down to, you know, so often in the book of Judges, you see a one man or a one woman show, don't you, with one person, God rising, you know, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God's supernatural ability being superimposed on someone's natural ability, and them getting up and rising up and doing something. But in this story, what's particular, special about it is Deborah just releases something of a word from God that causes Barak to act, that causes 10,000 people to be involved, that causes Jael, who's actually not an Israelite, who's married to, you know, to a Kenite, and something happens where so many people are involved, and you know, poor Barak says, I'll go with, you know, I'll go on this if you go with me. And she says, okay, I'll go. And he says, right, I'm coming along, but the glory is not going to you, by the way. It's going to be a woman who's going. And it's this woman, Jael, who hammers home, excuse the pun, hammers home the victory over wicked Sisera. But I believe, you know, there's something, and when Lucas was speaking and just exhorting you and encouraging you earlier on just to be involved. Sit under your palm tree first. Sit under your palm tree first. But then, you know, whatever it is, children's work, you know, there's so many things you can do, aren't there, in a church community. It's perhaps, as lockdown ends, perhaps inviting people round and having a barbecue, going to a bit, but maybe when it's a church service, talking to the person nobody else talks to. Just inviting the person everybody else seems to forget about, making sure you invite them. Send them a text message. Send them an email. Just give them a phone call. Something. Village life coming back because the people of God are responding to what God's calling them to do. You see, it's time. One woman soaked in the presence of God spoke up and acted, and things changed. It's time to arise. It's time to stand up and move on in things. I think the question we need to ask ourselves is, am I making my mark and fulfilling some human purpose of mine, or is God making his mark through me? You know, the last 18 months have been a time of real sort of difficult times. And have you been impressed, though, with people who stood up and made a difference? So important in life, generally, to have examples of people who stand up and make a difference. In terms of our own discipleship during this time, there might have been things that have come out of lockdown that have actually been positives for us, new positives that we've found with that less traveling time. Actually, this is good. Well, hold on to those positives. There might be some negatives that have appeared as well. But I've been amazed at people in this time of lockdown who haven't been fazed by it, but have adapted and overcome and kept moving forward. All walks of life, brilliant examples in so many, just the people who developed the vaccine. Isn't that amazing? Those have gone singing in their streets or singing from the block of flats, NHS volunteers, carers, health workers, shop workers, teachers who've kept going. Nations suffer, families suffer, communities suffer when people, there's a lack of get up and go in the community. And Life Church Goulburn, I don't know you, but I believe there's going to be get up and go. Until I, Deborah, arose, village life suffered. What about you put your name there? And, village life in community life in Life Church Goulburn suffers in the streets, not just in the church community, but beyond. And it suffers until there's this Holy Spirit-inspired get up and go that says, until I arise. And time's gone, but I just want to just pray for you now and just cause us to stop and pause and think about Deborah. And we haven't looked at all the details of a story, I know, but just look at Deborah. And just focus in a minute, and just perhaps close your eyes, if you can, for a second. And let's just focus in. I want you to picture in your heart and in your mind, if you can do this. Just try and picture a palm tree out there in the Middle East somewhere. There's perhaps some houses, around. But just picture a palm tree. And Deborah sat under the palm tree. And if you can, imagine Deborah sitting there. And perhaps just with her hands raised towards heaven, as she's just receiving something from God, something of his life and energy, his word, just that replenishing of her spirit going on as she sits under a palm tree. If you can divide the screen, put Deborah on one side, and then why don't you put yourself? Is it an armchair? Is it your bedroom? Is it a desk? But just picture yourself, where is it? And if you haven't got that place, just ask the Lord now to show you where it should be. But picture yourself there, just like Deborah, woman of valor. That there you are, a woman, a man of valor that just receives something from God. And just see that picture. And say these words in your own hearts and minds, that village life in Goulburn and wherever it is you live, cease until I, put your own name there, arose. Lord, I just pray that as we've looked at Deborah this morning, Holy Spirit, will you come and seal what words need to be implanted in our hearts. Holy Spirit, blow away the chaff. Blow away anything that's really not useful or helpful. But just come and seal what it is that you want to see remain in our hearts. Lord, we say we don't want to be like the Israelites who kept on going to synagogue, who kept on going to the temple, Lord, and the tabernacle. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we will be those, Lord, who are just changed and refreshed and challenged by your word, Lord, and just cause us, Lord, to be open to you now, Lord, and let your living word take root in our lives and let it produce fruit, we pray, that causes, Lord, especially at these days in which we live, causes, Lord, more than causes a community to know life, not just any life, but that eternal life, the life of the Spirit. Cause us to speak to those who don't know you. Cause us to move out in faith, Lord, in bringing words of encouragement, bringing prophetic word, Lord. Cause us to move out, Lord, in laying hands on the sick and seeing them healed, Lord. Cause us to be people who are so soaked in your presence, not on a Sunday at just in the morning, but Lord, every day we know what it is, Lord, to be soaked in your presence, to bring life to places where life has ceased. And we just pray, use us for your glory. Lord, I just want to say, Lord, pray your blessing on this church community and peace and great joy in the coming months with barbecues and film nights and picnics, Lord. I just pray, Lord, I just see village life being restored, Lord. More restoration, Lord. Old-style restoration, Lord. More than we had before. In Jesus' name, I ask this. Amen.
We've come to the end of this week's message. We hope you've been impacted and inspired. Keep up to date with everything that's happening by visiting our website at www.lifechurchwarrington.com.